Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
God speaking requires oneness. Whenever God's people are divided, His word becomes rare. But when the oneness is intact, even the oneness that is produced by the very life of Christ operating in us, God's word automatically opens and the light pours in. Bob Danker has joined us today as we consider one of the greatest blessings in the Christian life, and that is the indwelling Word of Christ. Welcome back to the program, Bob.
It's very good to be with you again, Matt. I fully agree that this matter of the indwelling Word of Christ is one of the greatest blessings of our Christian life. The more we allow the Word of Christ to dwell in us, that is to make its home in us, the more we experience a multifaceted blessing. In this broadcast, we are going to see a number of aspects of this great blessing of having the Word of Christ dwell in us richly.
Amen, Bob. We've been covering in the last programs the sequence starting from verse 1 in chapter 3. So let me read the beginning of this chapter to help us. If therefore you were raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. So there's a sequence that starts with our setting our mind on the things above, not on the things on earth, and it culminates in verse 15, let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Bob, this verse is wonderfully experiential, and if the believers in the one body could be brought into its reality, the situation among Christians today, and even among Christian families, would be radically improved. The sequence leading up to this verse doesn't end here. It continues on to verse 16, which will be our focus today. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. Bob, the word dwelling in us cannot be isolated from the context here, can it? Would you say a little bit about what precedes this next step of the indwelling word?
Well, Matt, as you mentioned, the preceding verse speaks about the peace of Christ arbitrating in our hearts. And the word arbitrate indicates that there may be some conflict. And as we live together in the body of Christ as members one of another, and we live as parts of the one new man, which is mentioned in verses 9 through 11 in this same chapter, it's possible that there might be disagreements among the brothers and sisters. There might be some conflicts that will disturb the peace and will cause the oneness to be damaged. So oneness among God's people is the most important condition to bring in God's blessing to God's people. Wherever there is division, disharmony, there's no blessing. And the greatest blessing, as we have seen, is that we have the Word of Christ. We have the Word of God among us. So when we have the oneness, we have the Word in a rich way. We need the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts to dissolve all the dissension and bad feelings among us so that the peace among us can be maintained. In this condition of peace, God has the free way to speak to us, to impart himself into us through his word, and we have a rich enjoyment of the word of Christ. In fact, this word not only can enter into us, but it can make its home in our inward parts to supply us with all the unsearchable riches of Christ. So this is the connection. First, we have the arbitrating peace, which keeps the oneness among all the believers. If we would allow this peace to arbitrate, then we will experience a great blessing. That is, we'll have God's word among us in a rich way, and that word will function, as we are going to see, in a multifaceted way.
Bob, the title of this life study of Colossians, message number 64, is The Word of Christ Inhabiting Us. Bob, today we're going to see eight marvelous items like you just referred to, or benefits that flow out of this indwelling Christ. Here's Witness Lee for the first four of these eight functions that we see of the Word of Christ dwelling in us.
For a proper Christian walk, we all need to set our mind on things above, right? To bring in the heavenly current of electricity, the heavenly transmission. Then whatever would be transmitted into us, that is the new element, the divine substance added into our being, then you have what? You have not only the renewing, but also you have the arbitrating peace of Christ. Because whatever of Christ transmitted into us becomes the arbitrating essence. That is the peace. Could you follow me? That is the peace. Then the oneness is kept and the harmony is preserved. Then the Word comes. Now, what the Word looks for? The Word of Christ inhabiting us. Well, what is the goodness of the Word? Could you count? Think over. Number one, the Word enlightens. If you don't have the Word, you are just in darkness. The Word is the light. The Word is the enlightenment. Number one. Number two, what? The Word nourishes. Nourishes. Oh, the Word of God is full of nourishment. While the Word enlightens, it nourishes us. Number three, the Word what? Quenches. Amen. Quenches your thirst. Amen. The Word is not only food, but also water. Water of life. Where is the water of life? In the Word of God. You have to take the Word in. So, number four, the Word strengthens. Why many Christians are so weak today? Because they are undernourished. They are thirsty. And hungry and thirsty people could never be strong. If you have the Word nourishing you, quenching you, then you got strengthened. You are strong. Not only strong in your spirit. If you have the Word, you'll be strong in your soul. Psychologically, you'll be strong. You'll be strengthened in your spirit and also in your soul. Psychologically, you'll be strengthened. Not only so. If you have the Word, you'll be strengthened physically. I have the Word in my spirit is strong, my spirit is happy, and this happiness helps what? My physical strength. You have to be assured when you are happy in your spirit, when you are happy in your psychology, surely you'll be healthy in your body. Amen. In Proverbs, there is such a verse. That is, the Word of God is a good cure. The Word of God heals you, strengthens you.
Bob, once the peace of Christ is operating within, producing harmony and maintaining the genuine oneness, then this indwelling or inhabiting Word will automatically follow. Bob, we just heard the first four of these eight items or functions of the indwelling Word. What impressed you the most here?
You know, Witness Lee starts with the first item, which is that the Word enlightens us. And he says, and this is our experience, without the Word, we are in darkness. And we have verses, you know, in Psalms, it says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's Psalm 119:105. And verse 130 says, the opening of your words gives light. So the Word of God and light are related. So when we have the Word in reality and in a rich way, we are not in darkness anymore. We have the light shining within us. The Word entering into us brings light to us. And this is so important for our Christian life. If we are in darkness, we're in death, and we are lost. We don't know how to go on. But then, the next three items to me are very related. They're connected. Firstly, the Word nourishes us. And of course, Peter refers to the milk of the Word in 1 Peter. And the Lord in Matthew says that man shall live not by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So the word here is likened to bread. And then Paul refers to the solid food, word as solid food. So the Word of God is our food. It nourishes us. It feeds us. In addition to feeding us, it also supplies us with the water of life. The water of life, the living water that is spoken about in the New Testament, is in the Word. And when we have the Word, we have the water, and our thirst is quenched. So if you have nourishment and you have the water, then your being, your person, can be strengthened by the nourishment and by the water that quenches your thirst. If we are undernourished and if we are thirsty, we certainly can't be strong. And this strength, as Witness Lee pointed out, and the Bible points out, is in our entire being. First, our spirit is strengthened by the Word. And then when our spirit is strong and full of joy and we are happy within, we have the joy of the Lord in our innermost being, then our psychology brightens up and we become strong in our soul. Our mind becomes clear and sober. Our emotions become proper. And our will is able to choose God and His way, you know. So, you see, we have a strong soul, but then a strong soul also helps our body to be strong. And there are verses in Proverbs, I think it's chapter 4, where it says that the Word is kind of like a medicine that heals us. So if we are sick, we should not stay away from the Word. We need the Word to make us healthy and strong in all the three parts of our being. So this is marvelous. It shows us that we need to be in a condition in which we can receive God's Word, and this Word can dwell in us in a rich way.
Bob, we got a call from a listener who heard about eating and drinking the Lord, and he called and said, I need to get a copy of this CD. I want to buy the CD because this is so striking to me. I've never heard before that we can eat the Lord, to be nourished on Him, this is the second point, and also to be quenched by the Lord, that is to drink the Lord, so that we would be strengthened by the Lord. It's very encouraging when someone hears these words for the first time and they're enlightened by this Word to be brought into these benefits and functions of the Word of God.
Amen, Matt.
Let's go back to Witness Lee as he covers number 5 and 6 of the benefits of the Word dwelling in us.
Number one, the Word enlightens. Number two, the Word satisfies. Number three, the Word quenches. Number four, the Word strengthens. Then number five, could you tell me? Very good. Washes. The Word washes without the need of any detergent. The Word washes metabolically, organically. The Word gives us an organic washing. The detergent only washes away dirt outwardly. But if I have wrinkles and spots, regardless what best detergent I use, it could never wash away my wrinkles. Then what can wash away my wrinkles? The Word that gets into my fiber organically. Okay, what number six? The Word builds up. We are members of the body. We are members of the church. We need to be built up. Every Christian is a peculiar people. Everyone is so peculiar, so particular. To put all these particular, peculiar folks together, how could you build them together? By the Word. Not the Word teaching you hourly, but the Word touching you. Touching you inwardly. And this is why we got a heavy burden to release the Word. Without the Word, without enlightenment. Without the Word, without nourishment. Without the Word, without quenching of thirst. Without the Word, without washing. Without the word, without strengthening. Without the word, without building. The more word we release of God, the more building will come into existence.
Bob, another benefit of the word is that it washes us organically. And I want to have you develop this a little, but he came to the matter also of building up. The word doing the building up work, and this is really the burden here, isn't it? That even that building up cannot be accomplished by the peace of Christ alone.
That's right. The peace of Christ alone cannot do the building work. For the building work, we need the word. First of all, Witness Lee mentions the matter of washing. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says that Christ sanctifies the church, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the Word. So in the Word of God, there is water that washes us, not washes away the dirt outwardly, but washes away the spots and wrinkles, the blemishes of our being inwardly. Eventually, the result of this washing is that the Lord will present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she would be holy and without blemish. So only the word can metabolically wash away the spots and the wrinkles. These, of course, are symbolic things referring to the blemishes that we have in our being because of the fall and the oldness. Of course, wrinkles are a sign of oldness. If you have wrinkles, it means you're elderly. So the Lord is not going to marry an elderly, wrinkled bride. He's going to marry a very fresh bride, a young bride. So we need to be washed by the word. But then this matter of building is very important. The whole Bible talks about the matter of building. God is building his house, and Christ is building his church, and the Lord is building up the body of Christ. All these things are mentioned. As Witness Lee points out, we're all peculiar people. We're individualistic. How can we be built up to be one? Only the word can accomplish this. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Paul says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So the word of God's grace is able to build us up. How does it do this? It enters into us and it operates within us to touch us inwardly and to take away from us our individualistic self, I would say, that prevents us from being built up with others, and it ministers into us Christ himself as the element of the building. So the word accomplishes the building up that the Bible speaks about.
I'm really glad you read that verse, Bob, Acts 20, verse 32, that talks about an ability in the word. The word is able to build you up. I think this is awesome. And if we don't have the word, we don't have the ability to be built up. Let's go back to Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
Now, Juan number 7. Complete. Perfect. A little child is complete in organs, but not perfected in functions. The little babes, they have eyes, but they couldn't see. They have ears, but they couldn't hear. They have legs, but they couldn't walk, and so forth. They need the perfection, and the perfection is always by growth. The more the children grow, the more their functions are completed. We all need to function, but you need the word to perfect it. Why? Because the word nourishes you. That gives you the growth. While you are growing, your functions come out. Because the nourishment perfects the function. So the word really perfects. Then, what number 8? The word edifies. To edify a person is to build this person up in himself, mostly in virtues. In the church, when we say we all need to build up, that means to be built up together. This is the church building. This is not the personal building. You, as an individual, you need some edification. You need to be edified. you need to be built up in a personal way. You are short of virtues. You are short of patience. You are short of wisdom. You are short of humility. You are short of kindness. You are short of many, many virtues. The Word of God edifies us in all aspects of virtues. The more Word you have of God, the more virtue you have. Your kindness will be increased by the Word of God. Your patience will be increased by the Word of God. Your love will be increased by the Word of God. Your humility will be increased by the Word of God. Even your wisdom. You will be a person fully edified. So you all have to realize we need the Word. Amen. We just need the Word. The Word of Christ inhabits us. Inhabits us. The Word will take us as its home. It means a lot. I tell you, to make a place your home, you must give full freedom, full liberty, full right to the Word of God. You have to say, Lord, I offer my whole being to you and your Word. I give my right, my freedom, my liberty, my every part of my inner being to you. Lord, get into me and keep your Word in me. And make my inner being a real home to yourself and to your Word.
Bob, completing or perfecting, and finally, edifying. The Word really means a lot. There's altogether 8 marvelous points, but Bob, I was very touched with his prayer here at the end, allowing the Lord through his Word to inhabit us, to make his home in us, weren't you?
Yes, this is really Paul's emphasis here in this verse. He says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And the word dwell here means to make a home, to inhabit. So this means that the Lord, through the Word, and of course the Lord and his Word are one. It cannot be separated. Actually, the Word is Christ, and Christ is the Word. So when we say that we should let the Word dwell in us, we are really saying we let the Lord in the Word and through the Word make his home in our inner being and minister himself into every part of our inner being, especially into our mind, our emotion, and our will. For this, we need to give ourselves to the Lord by prayer, as Witness Lee points out at the end of his speaking, to tell the Lord that we give him all the room in our inner being.
Thanks for coming in and being with me today. We've run out of time. This is Matt Miller. Thanks for joining us today on Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee.